It is a privilege to be here. It's been a long time since I've had a chance to do this, and I feel pretty unworthy for being up here, but Jesus makes it okay. And briefly, I think the least important stuff should be talked about first. My name is Vance Steeman. I'm from the Dickey area. I live about 5 miles south of Dickey. Grew up on the farm there. Actually, I was telling the folks earlier this morning, I was an Edgely Ranger until my dad bought the farm 3 miles east, and then I became in the Dickey School District for about 2 years, and then that school closed, and then I went east of all places to Lemoore. And so that's kind of how that all happened. I was a ranger, a dragon, and then a lobo and growing up. And grew up on the farm. Only time I was off the farm was going back about 35 years ago. I went to Arkansas, worked at a youth ranch for about 3 or 4 years for hardcore troubled kids, a Christian facility up in the hills of northeastern Arkansas. And that was powerful time. That was about the only time I was away from the farm. And so that's a real quick version. We're going to pray. I should have started off. We're going to pray first here. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this gathering, this opportunity to be here with fine people, Lord God, with the gathering as we come to worship and praise you. And I pray, Lord God, it's you, Lord God, that I would get out of the way, and what you've put on my heart would be conveyed, Lord God, as you would have it. I just pray for the hearts of everyone here, Lord God, just to take what would be for them today. And I thank you and praise you for your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I remember, I was born in 62, I was about 7 years old, and we went to an evangelist in Edgely. I think it was at the Armory. I'm not saying that my memories are perfect, but I was about 7 years old when I came to accept Christ. I don't know if it was that years ago there was that evangelist, they called him the barn preacher. I don't know if that was the one, but I remember walking up in that service to accept Christ. And see, that's 64 minus 7 is 57. I wish I'd spent the next 57 years seeking like I should every day. And one reason I feel so unworthy is just the times that I've been off the path, and it's I've hurt people, and I've been hurt, and coming back is incredible. And again, that's what makes me okay to be here. No more qualified than anybody in this room to be up here. It's a privilege to be up here. When I was asked, I wasn't gonna. And I remember I called a friend of mine that's a friend of this day that I work with at this youth ranch. It was really a tough environment. These were tough kids, and we got them in school and helped them change their lives, and some did and some didn't. But he just said no. He said, you're a forgiven guy, and it's an opportunity to share with brothers and sisters. And that's what it's about. I've met some of you, and some of you I don't know. And I did coach for about 16 years in Lemoore, and I was a head coach for a few years. Don't buy my book. I haven't written it. But for 3 years, we had losing seasons. Try coaching in your own hometown and losing more than you win. The last year, we kind of turned the corner, and then I was out the door. But I wasn't a teacher, and they found a teacher, and I actually coached with that gentleman, and I've had a chance to coach with three guys over the years, and so I may have been on the sideline, and I have been a fan. If you ask Josh, he would know that I have been a fan in the stands, also with opinions, and those days are gone. My kids have been done for about 11 years, but it was a privilege working with kids. That's what you miss the most. I've talked with some of the kids I used to coach. Some said, "Coach, this wasn't right." Some said, "This was." You get a mixed bag. And I'm actually pretty close to a couple of those kids that I coached, and one of them lost his father a little while ago, and he lives in Bismarck and has for years. I had a chance to watch his son play a couple times. And you could just kind of tell, it was nothing about me, but it was something that he just had such a respect, and he always worked hard. And I've been there a couple times. We've gone to a game together. We do things together just a couple times a year, and that's kind of a special bond. And then I got to get to my notes. I've never had notes in my life when I've stood up here. I've never had notes, but I think it's an age thing. You know, I know that so many of you here, as we go along in life, whether we're 15 or 85 or older, we come across people. Sometimes we don't know why. I was driving up the road on the night of the NCAA championship here in basketball. I was going to Jamestown to make a Walmart run and a parts run, I think. And the phone rang. My phone rang, and I'm driving, and it was a young man that used to play. And he wasn't doing too good. And I think he had had a couple beverages, and he just started pouring his heart out. And, you know, you're driving and say, Lord, keep me focused on the drive, but you just never know what'll happen. And I just said, Lord, give me the words. Lord, give me the words. And he's going through a tough time. And a very successful businessman. He's done very well going through a marriage. He'd been through a marriage breakup, and he loves his kids. He's a good dad. But he just started pouring out his heart. And then I get to the Walmart parking lot, and I'm sitting there. And then I'm looking at, hey, tip-off is coming up. And I literally said, Lord, forgive me. I didn't even think that. I shouldn't have thought that. And who cares, right? Who cares at that point? And that's just been one of a couple illustrations of just even in the last few years, things come up. And I would love a dime for every time I failed to be a good witness, because I wouldn't need a banker anymore. And but all we can do is go forward. And I think that's one reason I knew that it's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord and just have a chance to share the word. And I'm gonna go into what the Lord put on my heart. And you know, sometimes you sit back there, I don't know if that was right. I'm not sure. I'm trusting the Lord, and I pray for the word to go that it's just His. And I want to read a couple definitions to you. Definition of brokenness. This is kind of like the Webster's or Merriam. The state of being deeply damaged, shattered, or dysfunctional, often referring to severe emotional pain, spiritual inadequacy, or the ruin of systems and relationships. And then this is more of a spiritual definition. The acknowledgement of personal sinfulness and a deep, humble need for God's grace, often called a broken and contrite heart. And in the Sunday school this morning, it was just getting close to Matthew 5. I guess that's coming up. Excuse me. And the first verse of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And one person that I was kind of listening to a little bit and putting together some things said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And his belief of that was that it's a brokenness over sin. It's a brokenness that happens over sin. And I'm going to go to Psalm 51 right now. I've got a couple verses marked off. In Psalm 51, we all know probably it's review. I kind of think of maybe what the Lord's put on my heart for a lot of you. It might just be review. Just going back, and you know, we've heard this before. Maybe you've heard it many times before. But in Psalm 51, and we just start in verse 1. You know, David, what is it? I think it's about 1 to 2 years after he committed adultery and murder that this psalm was written. 1 to 2 years, I've heard both. And he was a murderer and an adulterer, yet the Lord still used him. Because, of course, he repented. He changed. And we're going to start out with, in Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. And I kind of agree with this. Brokenness can bring us back to a full reliance on God's grace and mercy. You go into Psalm 51, 2, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Brokenness can give us a constant desire to live a purified life. Psalm 51:3, for I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. I think, I don't know, I've talked to some folks, maybe you have too, that when you come to Christ or when you recommit to Christ, There may be some things in your life that people won't forget. Family, neighbors, friends. There's going to be things where we've maybe messed up that people won't forget. But I said, what's incredibly powerful is the Lord says you're forgiven. And if we remember the scripture, as far as the east is from the west, he'll blot out our transgressions. Lord, please give me the faith to trust that your word, that that's true, that he will blot out our transgressions when we come truly. That's, well, it's powerful to me, I know that. Brokenness brings a humility that will allow me to admit when I'm wrong. Well, we could have a 10-part series on being able to admit when we're wrong, I suppose. We won't do that. Brokenness allows us to understand and admit the true and full impact of our sin. And I guess I'm just going to go forward with the brokenness that can happen, realizing the impact of our sin. And I don't know, I hope there's no one here, but I think there's a lot of people that have carried the weight of failures in their life for too long, for too long. They may even know the Lord, or they haven't come to enough of a realization that the Lord does forgive our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. There is a cost to sin. I could talk about that for a while. There's a cost to sin in our lives, sometimes big, sometimes small, but that doesn't change how real the forgiveness is for us. It doesn't change how real the forgiveness is. And as a matter of fact, some of the things that have been, some of the scriptures that encouraged me, I kind of marked them off here. And I thought, well, I could use the phone, but I don't know. I guess it's okay to use the phone, but I like the Bible on the phone. You know, I'll turn it on, and a lot of times when I'm driving, sometimes devotions are on the road when I'm driving down the road. Not that that's a great substitution for quiet time in our prayer closet, wherever that may be. And what I love is the encouragement as soon as I find that page. I'm going to go right to those scriptures. I thought this could happen, that I would have too many notes and not find the right page. I'm going to go to Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, what we just talked about. And then Hebrews chapter 10. This is a scripture that's kind of encouraging to me quite often. Hebrews chapter 10. Regarding some guilt we might carry, guilt we might feel, guilt that can weigh us down. I've been through that. I've been through that, and maybe some of you have. I hope not a lot, but guilt that can drag us down. Isn't it interesting how when we're distracted, it keeps us from being focused on the things we need to be focused on. When we're distracted by maybe guilt or just the weight of sin that has been forgiven, but we keep carrying it. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19, Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19, talking about a guilty conscience here in a way. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. That's almost good enough right there. To have our heart sprinkled from a guilty conscience. I mean, guilty conscience is something that has probably troubled a lot of people in life for a long time. And here's just two of many scriptures where the blood of Jesus, that's what it's about, is helping us be released from the brokenness of sin that has weighed us down in our life. And this is what the Lord put on my heart just Saturday morning, and I was thinking, really? Are you sure? And I just asked the Lord for peace as I would continue to kind of study it a little bit. And I think there's brokenness. When it was on my heart, spirit about brokenness, I was kind of thinking of people that have gone through heartbreak. And like Mike, you mentioned this morning, and it's hard to forget about, I'm sure more than I would care to think in here have dealt with burying a child or burying a spouse or a sibling or parents. I haven't buried parents, a kid, or a sibling yet. I haven't walked in those shoes that some of you have. My wife lives in Bismarck, taking care of family, and her sister, I just met her sister a few years ago. Her name was Barb. Barb survived cancer when she was in her 30s, and after she survived that, I guess she lived pretty hard, pretty fast. And so I got to know Barb when she was living at home, being kind of cared for by her son a little bit, and then it went to the hospital, and then came assisted living. This is a couple years ago, and my wife was kind of the advocate for everything, and so I was getting to know Barb and got into assisted living, and then I got a call, can we pay for the first 3 months? No, but we'll do it, and of course, it was all fine. And anyway, I knew I had to witness to Barb, and the Lord put on my heart, Lord, okay, I got to do this. And one day, she hadn't been in church in forever. I don't know what her upbringing was exactly. And I was in the hospital room. It was before she went into assisted living. She was in the hospital and then got qualified. And, you know, I'm in the room visiting with her. It was hard sometimes. And then she goes, you know, what do you think about heaven? And it's like, sometimes the Lord, you know, Vance is a little bit of a doofus, and I'm going to help him out. And she brings up heaven. So we start talking. And she had Parkinson's now and congestive heart failure and some other things. And I just started to share. And I talked to Barb. I said, Barb, you are loved. And I said, when Christ died, it was for all of us. And I just continued to share with her. And, you know, I wasn't trying to get beyond the basics at that time. And I said, I can't explain to you why you've had cancer, why you have Parkinson's now. And about 11 years ago, one of my closest friends, he actually built my home 11 years ago. And he had four kids. And one day he was talking to his daughter who was going to Trinity Bible College. Actually, all three of my sons went to Trinity Bible College. And fantastic place to me, very special, because two of my boys went elsewhere, came there for a variety of reasons, being off track, and both met their wives there, and I got to watch them all play basketball together. That was kind of fun. And she was there too, and one day my friend, his name is Corey, said, when are you going to be done? Trinity's not cheap. It's expensive. Faith-based education, but it's not cheap, but it's worth every penny, by the way. And he said, "What are you going to do?" Well, the Lord wants me to go overseas and be a teacher. And at 5:30 that night, she was killed north of Ellendale, going back to school. Just a blustery day, nobody at fault. Vehicle went sideways, and she was gone. How does that work? Again, I have not walked in these shoes, and I apologize. I don't want to bring up heartache to anybody, but I remember sitting out in the garage, just actually shutting my mouth and listening. I couldn't come up with a reason. She was my three sons were three of her four urn bearers. None of them dated her. She was so close to them, and she could kind of get on their case when they needed it, you know. And I miss her every day, and. I said to Barb, I can't explain these things. I don't know why you have Parkinson's, but you're loved. And I remember, so I would keep sharing with her. And so we went, you know, it was assisted living. Then it was back in the hospital. Then it was nursing home because the needs got too great. And every time I left, I would pray. And one of the last times I saw Barb, I was reaching down and we finished praying. And she goes, you know, Vance, whenever you touch my shoulder, it really hurts. And I said, you goofball, why didn't you tell me that the first time? And it was May 15th, a year ago. I had one of those, it was, I planted corn until 3 a.m. to get done because it was supposed to rain, and I just didn't stop. I wanted to get done. Then I had to get up and go planting beans then, and we got rain at about 10:30, and then that's when about the time Barb passed at noon that day. And I don't know, but she said in the nursing home one day, because for her it was a priest coming in to give communion, and she said, I had communion for the first time in years. She goes, Vance, I'm opening up. Now, I don't know where she ended up with her heart at the end, but it was just, she was such a hard shell and had lived so hard, her kids never came to see her, because maybe for a while she probably wasn't the greatest mom. I don't know, I'm speculating there. But it was so neat to hear her say, I'm opening up, and I'm just, that's one of those situations where Barb, if she did, everything was lifted. And we're talking, she was 65 when she passed, pretty young, if you ask me. And that brokenness that was in her, if she did, I never got to actually pray with her telling me that she's accepted Christ, but I'm just believing and I'm hoping that she did. And it's incredible that the Lord says, he addresses it word for word, to help clear a guilty conscience, to help remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. I remember years ago, some of these things, it's too bad they're years ago, but I remember going to the Edgeley Nursing Home about every other week. And when I worked at that ranch in Arkansas in the late 80s, early 90s, we didn't have TV, I didn't get to watch football. Every Sunday, the kids got to go out to Donovan, Missouri, to the smorgasbord, and went to the nursing home to minister. And so I did that for 3.5 straight years, and it was so cool. And the kids would sing, and just to see people light up. And then I learned or realized at that time, who am I to say there's not someone here that needs to hear and be encouraged? And I remember one day we finished singing, and I happened to be the one that drove that day, and just was sharing a couple scriptures, and one lady stood up and she said, shut up, you blank. And she walked out. And I remember the Lord helped me. I just didn't miss a beat. She obviously wasn't in her right mind at that time. But back to the nursing home thing, I thought, Lord, what if there's one person in a year that we shared some songs or scriptures, a man or woman that never has had a chance to come to know you that did? I don't know. I don't know where people are at. I think I've come to know in life that there's one gentleman I know, and he's a character. I've heard him sit in a we have a shop church at a couple different shops on Thursday mornings, mostly, for the next couple probably. And he's a little flowery of speech, but I've heard him talk about Jesus and Jesus being with him. He lost his wife to cancer about 10 years ago. He talks about being at Roger Maris, and just he would start tearing up when he walked by the kids' part, because he got lost in the hallway. He's a goof. He got lost in the hallway, and he got onto the area where it was a lot of kids with cancer, I saw him, his face, tearing up and talking about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that he shouldn't probably go more forward, but I'll tell you what, there's three fingers coming back at me, right? When I point, there's three fingers coming back. And then I think of, there's a few people that I may not think or know that have come to know Christ. Might be a little surprised and to see them someday. And I don't know if some of you have seen this lately. I've seen kind of a tendency sometimes, maybe social media. Probably some very well-meaning folks talking a lot about just saying you accept Jesus Christ isn't always enough if you haven't changed. And I realize we don't have time to get into that, but you all understand and have heard the gospel, I'm sure. I don't want to start tying it to works. It was a neat thing bringing up this morning repentance and confession of repentance. And Boy, there's a thing, some things in my life that I've confessed, but they didn't get repented for a long time. And it's been costly in my life. But I'm so thankful for, when I read the Old Testament, how many times after the Israelites were taken out of slavery and the sea is parted and they're fed from heaven, yet they turn to other gods, yet the Lord would take them back. So I will say this, most of you I don't know personally, some of you I know a little bit. I don't know if you've got anything on the Israelites. I mean, how many times they turned, how many times you may have stumbled or gone astray. I'll tell you what, the Lord is waiting. The Lord is waiting right now. It just takes a confession and repentance. And the effects of sin aren't always immediately gone. And I want to be careful for people to be scared out of the fact that Jesus is enough. He said it was finished. And, you know, living life nowadays, years ago, in I forget how many years ago I went to college, but had a chance to volunteer with Youth for Christ in the Fargo-Moorhead area. And the gentleman that was the director there, his name was Dennis Jensen, fantastic. The type of guy that could sit down with different, you know, you needed donors. Youth for Christ, if you went to work full-time, was a Billy Graham started ministry years ago. And the goal of campus life, and I worked in the youth guidance division, that with the kids in institutions and prisons. And Dennis had a wonderful ability to sit down with big donors or high school principals and get the doors open. That's maybe gotten tougher over the years, but we had a lot of neat ministry opportunities. And Dennis would talk about, he would have a canoe trip once a year. I finally went on it. He would invite men. It was a men's trip up in the Boundary Waters. And he would invite men that knew the Lord, men that didn't. He would also work with different, like the pastor's ministries in town. And he said, you know, if we could focus on the 96 or 7% of things we agree on, you know, as Christians coming together, boy, we could get a lot done. We could get a lot done. And I'm sure that that's the heart of many of you here. It's an interesting age. And there's a young man that I went to Sanford Hospital about 8 years ago. I don't know where he's at now, but I knew I had to go see him because he was in a car accident and he shouldn't have made it, but he did. And I said to him, he's a really colorful life, and I said to this young man, I went and got a Bible for him and a couple things, and I said, so-and-so, I said, you know, you're here for a reason. Are you ready to finally come to the Lord? He said, yes. So we prayed. Now, I have occasional contact with him. Doesn't look like he's really getting to church on Sundays and actively seeking the Lord, okay? It doesn't look that way. But I'm going to tell you something. We know that seeds have been planted and that God promises he'll give the increase. And that's right now, sometimes that's all I can stand on. And in my little world of some people that have walked through some of this stuff, I just know the Lord can be trusted. Because the Lord, you look at, some of you probably know these scriptures pretty well. You know, Psalm 147:3. Right here, Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And we know in Peter that he talks about being close to the brokenhearted. And I know that there's things that I'm not qualified to try to counsel anybody. I'm not qualified for any of that stuff. But in Philippians, some of my favorite verses are in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I think a lot of you know this scripture and can probably recite it out loud now. In Philippians chapter 4, and it's verses 4 through 6, Philippians 4, 4 through 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness, your humbleness, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. I'm a little worried about the soil temperatures right now. Do not be anxious in the fact that both planters aren't ready to go. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace. Now there's a lot of qualifiers there, isn't there? You know, rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Don't be anxious, don't worry, but in everything by prayer and petition, seeking the Lord with thanksgiving. I'm not real thankful, maybe sometimes we feel that way. I am. Hey, I'm thankful for the heart pumping and the lungs working. With thanksgiving, we won't talk about brain waves yet. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I think, do I take the Lord at His word? Sometimes, I'm sure many of us go through times we don't feel peace. There's so much tension going on. I was talking to two different friends of mine at funerals where some of the family problems are so thick, it was just tough. And those are things that, first of all, not my business, but that's tough. It can bring us down. It can discourage us. And I can be reminded, I don't want to be that way. And I need the Lord's help. But back to trusting the Lord, here's my very tiny example, okay? 2 years ago, it's late, trying to get the corn done, and a fertilizer valve quits working. You know, so I call good old Josh Jakowski, who was still the parts manager. Yeah, I go to town, we just sold it. I thought you had it. So I hop on Highway 13 to head towards Edgeley. So I'm either going to Aberdeen or Jamestown, right? Wherever they find the part. Well, they found it. But all I'm doing is losing critical hours, acres per hour. I want to get done with this corn. Anyway, so this is such a trivial example, but I just started praying. And honestly, I ended up having the most enjoyable 4 hours of breakdown time ever. And it's just, I apologize for how simple of an example this is. But I was just at peace. And the miraculous thing is, I got back and actually put it together. I'm not a mechanic. I am not mechanic. My dad's 89 years old, and he just said it the other day when I was over under the truck putting a jack on so he could put these things out that I should have been over there working on a planter. And he goes, I just got to do something. I can't sit in the house all day. My dad is brilliantly smart. He built his own tractor back in his 20s. It wasn't real beautiful, but it was a 331 Chrysler Hemi with an automatic and a 4-speed in sequence. And he built this thing in a shop that's not heated in his 20s. He's just that kind of guy, so he's had to deal with me for years. I'm just not that good with my hands. I do try. But I had such peace. I got it together, and I ended up, I think, finishing the field late that night. But it was just trusting that, yeah, Lord, you said. And I've often thought, you know, when we think of young people, it's interesting to be, my oldest son is a teacher and coach in Dodge City, Kansas, and he works in the middle school. And then he's helping coach junior high track, and he just said the other day, these kids are some goofballs, but you know, they're not bad. And junior high kids today, junior high kids 20 years ago and 40 years ago, I've always, Bobby, been quite a group. But it's probably accelerated into even goofier nowadays. And I think sometimes, how many kids in Cullum and Edgeley and Fredonia and areas, how many teenage kids don't have much peace when they go to bed at night? Let's just think of some teenagers in our schools and the things they go through and the challenges. And we live in a wonderful part of the country, in my opinion. But you know what? The peace is available. The peace is out there. And sometimes I bet you there's a lot of people from when they could think about it to the hundreds, they would just like to have peace. And that's one of the most beautiful things the Lord can offer through His forgiveness is peace. and I know it's about time. I do see the clock back there. Nobody really put a stipulation on time. It's nobody did. It was a couple reminders. But have any of you, I don't know, there's a pastor, I haven't seen a lot of his stuff. His name is Alistair Begg. And maybe some of you have seen this. It popped up and I kind of watched it. And he's preaching this big church in Ohio. I think he's a retired pastor. And he's talking about that time comes when we get to the gates of heaven. However this all works, I don't know. But he was talking about if anything that we would say, why should I let you in here? If anything starts with I, we're probably in trouble. It's because he. And he gives an illustration of the thief on the cross. Some of you have probably seen this. And he's going, what about the thief on the cross? He goes, I want to find that guy and ask him how that worked out for him. And he gives an illustration of this guy shows up and the angel goes, so, why are you here? I don't know. Where did you go to church? I didn't go to church. And all of a sudden he goes, whoa, wait, hold on. He gets the supervisor angel. And he goes, I'm murdering the whole presentation of it, but he goes, so, are you familiar with with justification by faith? No. Ever been baptized? No. Well, why do you think you should be here and allowed in? Because the guy on the middle cross said I could come. And that's a true story. We all know about the thief. Remember me, Father. He didn't have a chance to do anything orderly except trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, you can come. And I guess I look at my notes and how scattered they are, and I apologize if I was scattered, but I am thankful for, in a world where some of us have or will go through just brokenness over our own stuff or brokenness over unspeakable tragedies that I can't explain, that Jesus Christ is, well, some people, I've ever heard the phrase, I kind of feel distant from the Lord. I kind of feel away from God. Well, who moved? It wasn't him. And you know what? If he could take the Israelites and all those people back, if he could use David, Moses, Paul, killed Christians. Let's think about that. I mean, I don't know how bad some of you are in here, but I've never killed anybody, but my sin has been my sin. But that's who Jesus used, imperfect people powerfully. And I will just say, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be asked. And I will close in prayer, and I will just say thank you, and I wish you all a great spring. And we're going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of believers. I thank you for the Cullum Baptist Church, the people here that are here, those that couldn't make it today. I ask your blessing upon this congregation, the many prayer needs that were brought up today. Father, please meet people, meet them with encouragement, with forgiveness, Lord God, and answers to any questions they may have. And I pray for this group as they continue to search and look for a pastor. I pray that the right person is found in your time, and we trust your time. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you.